From somewhere in the bayous, almost live, it's the Swamp Swami audio podcast. And here's the star of your show, Swamp Swami. And now it's time to discuss, can spring football actually be saved? This Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central on ABC, the XFL's version 3.0 is going to come to an end with the championship game being played in San Antonio, Texas. The game will pit the 10-1 DC Defenders of the North Division against the South Division champion Arlington, Texas Renegades. Now, the Renegades come into the finale with a record of just 5-6 after they surprised the South Division regular season champion Houston Roughnecks last weekend. Houston finished its season at 7-4. And did I say that the Saturday championship matchup of DC and Arlington is going to be played in San Antonio? Yes, the San Antonio XFL team, the Brahmas, drew less than 15,000 fans per game for the team's 5 home games this season. And does the XFL really expect that the fine citizens of San Antonio, Texas are going to come out and fill their 50,000-seat football stadium to watch 2 other XFL franchises duke it out this Saturday night? I don't think so. If the XFL actually does fold after this year's 3rd attempt, the phrase, "Remember the Alamo Dome," is going to be a fitting epitaph. To recap, the best team in the 8-team XFL, the DC Defenders of Washington, DC, are going to play against the 5th best team in the league, the Arlington Renegades, for the championship on Saturday night at a neutral site in San Antonio. DC finished the regular season with a league-best 9-1 record, and 2 other North Division teams, the Seattle Sea Dragons and the St. Louis Battlehawks, both concluded their regular season with a 7-3 record, and Las Vegas, the Vipers, finished in 4th place at 2-8 in the North Division. Seattle then won a tiebreaker for the right to play against DC for the North Division crown. And last weekend in Washington, DC defeated Seattle 37-21. Attendance in Washington was 18,664, but it was the largest crowd of the year in old DC. Down in the XFL's South Division, the only team which finished the year with a winning record was the Houston Roughnecks at 7-3. Arlington finished in 2nd place at 4-6. The San Antonio team, 3-7, and Orlando at 1-9 brought up the rear of that lowly South Division of the XFL. Last weekend, Arlington went down to Houston, play in the semifinals, and surprised the home team, the Roughnecks, 26-11, and advanced into this weekend's XFL championship game on Saturday night. Now, Houston's home playoff game attendance was just 13,568 at a relatively new football stadium on the campus of the University of Houston. Now, here's an interesting thought. This Saturday night, there is going to be a 50% chance that the 2023 XFL season champion is going to be a team from Arlington, Texas that finishes with a 6-6 final record. Oops. Now, how could that have happened in a professional sports league like this? Well, you haven't read this yet, but the XFL has lost a ton of money this season. Unlike its big competitor in the USFL, the XFL decided to boldly go forth with a plan for all 8 franchises to play 5 home games apiece in their 10-game regular season schedule. The St. Louis Battlehawks were the only successful draw in the XFL this year. The team averaged a little bit more than 35,000 fans per game to lead the Spring Football League in home attendance. St. Louis's football fans sent a very clear message to the NFL that the Rams should not have been moved to Los Angeles at the end of the 2015 season, and the city's been in mourning ever since. As if the NFL cared. They were going to move that team to the second largest TV market, regardless of what the fans in St. Louis were thinking. Now, none of the other 7 XFL franchises was able to pull more than 15,000 fans per home game. The second best draw in the league in 2023 was San Antonio at 14,983 per home game. Las Vegas finished in last place, lowest home attendance at just over 6,000 per game. Now, with an average ticket price of just $20 for most XFL teams, the weekly revenue generated by those ticket sales is not going to be enough to cover the cost of the stadium leases and the operations at most of the XFL locations. Television advertising revenue was being counted on to generate significant cash for the XFL. Just 5 of the 40 televised XFL regular season games of their 10-week season were able to draw more than 1 million television viewers. Once again, 5 out of 40 drew 1 million fans watching on TV. The majority of those other 35 XFL regular season games televised on ESPN, ESPN2, or FX rarely pulled in more than 500,000 viewers. So how does that stack up with the other spring sporting events in recent weekends? Well, I have that information for you. For example, last weekend the NBA playoffs drew on average 4.5 million viewers per game. Wrestling on Friday night on Fox drew 2.5 million. Auto racing, NASCAR, 2.2 million. The NHL playoffs on Sunday, 2.2 million. Wrestling again on Monday night on USA, 1.8 million. The Grand Prix auto racing pulled 1.5 million. PGA golf from New Orleans the week before was almost 1.5 million. UFC fight night on Saturday night, 1.2 million. Major League Baseball's Sunday night game, 1.4 million. Women's gymnastics a week ago on Saturday drew over 1 million. Then the USFL week number 3 Sunday on Fox was 560,000. The XFL playoffs on Sunday on ESPN drew 480,000. And the only thing worse was LIV Golf on the CW network, which is just getting started. It had 300,000 viewers. So just LIV Golf, which is in its first year of network television, had fewer TV viewers than the XFL and the USFL spring football games in the last couple of weeks. Now, just 1 year ago, the USFL executives boldly stated that a weekly audience of 1 million or more television viewers would be plenty to consider their games a success. Last weekend's spring football games between the two groups, USFL and XFL, barely reached 1 million total viewers. And television ratings do matter. In the case of the USFL, the league agreed to split the television advertising revenues with the networks who are carrying the games. And that's because the TV networks did not want to pay any money in advance to the USFL for financial guarantees for the rights to carry their weekly schedule of games. Based on the number of previous failed attempts at spring professional football on television, the USFL had zero leverage. It was in a very weak bargaining position if it was trying to find a reputable sports network that was willing to carry their games. Now, I suspect that a very similar issue arose this year with the XFL and its television partners, too. The TV networks want to make money when they're airing sporting events. Can't blame them for that. Football games require a battalion of technicians and related personnel just to put on the show. It's a very expensive television production to put on a football game. When compared to football, how many cameras and staff are required to televise a tennis match, let's say, or a bowling show? What about basketball or hockey? None of those require the same number of professional staffers and the expensive broadcast equipment as a professional football game does. Football needs strong financial support to justify the high cost of operations. So let's review what we have learned in the past 2 years about spring professional football from the USFL, which is in year number 2, and this season's XFL, year number 1. Point number 1. Neither the XFL nor the USFL have built a sustainable weekly television audience of 1 million or more viewers. That's a fact. Number 2. The level of play might be better than most of us expected, but it still feels like a minor league game. Can't change that. Number 3. The XFL games seem to have been more exciting on television by playing in front of those home crowds. However, most of those XFL home crowds were not large enough to cover the cost of playing in those football stadiums. Number 4. By contrast, the USFL games have been a little bit less exciting to watch. The league has seen low attendance even after it decided to play half of its games in 2023 in front of local fans. However, the USFL has proven to have the much more economic business model of the two leagues. Number 5, very importantly, the NFL is not currently involved in either of those leagues. We now realize that the vast majority of these spring football players are never going to play a down in the NFL. And number 6, without a deal to become a developmental league for the NFL, these two spring football leagues are a dead end for the majority of their football players. And now the fans are realizing this too. A merger of the XFL and USFL is not very likely because neither league makes any money. The USFL is owned by Fox Sports, though, and might have a better chance of survival if they want to continue another year of losing money. So the fans of spring football have spoken. Other than in St. Louis, none of the other teams comprising the XFL and USFL, with 8 teams apiece, have been well supported in their home stadiums or by television viewers watching at home. So it's going to be hard to justify the continued financial losses of either spring football league. The quality of play on the field, though, has been pretty good, and it should have been enough to whet the appetite of any football fans who are willing to watch the USFL or XFL play in the spring. The lack of television viewership and fans willing to show up and buy tickets at the games speaks the truth in 2023. Despite a really good try by the USFL and the XFL, spring football is simply not working. Our appetite for spring professional football may be a lot like trying to eat another piece of cake once you're already full. Sometimes it's better to sit back and digest it for a while and then come back for a little bit more later.
No!
I'm Swamp Swami.